today on Real Radio.
Many scholars believe that the 12 constellations is none other than the message of the gospel in the sky. Could it be? Don't know. Could it be that the heavens declare the glory of God? It's not only the wonder of celestial creation, the stars at night and the sun and the moon, but could it mean also that the gospel had representation preached from the heavens that God was announcing?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Always God at Work, Part 2, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for taking the time to join us today. The prophet Isaiah is well known for both his near and far prophecies. God used him to warn Judah and the city of Jerusalem of coming judgment if they don't turn from their sin. But God also gave him visions far into the future, the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and what will happen in the last days when Christ returns. In Isaiah chapters 18 and 19, we learned about Ethiopia and Egypt's role during the end times. God's judgment is on Egypt in particular because of its treatment of Israel throughout history. This also explains why Egypt continues to suffer to this very day. When a nation forgets God, he lifts his hand of blessing and removes his umbrella of protection. Now, continuing in chapter 19, we'll see how Isaiah's prophecies cover the entire world, and even more so as the end approaches. So today, on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack describes for us what will happen during the millennium, when Jesus is ruling and reigning on the throne in Jerusalem. And when world peace seems impossible and the nations have exhausted themselves, Isaiah also shows us how Assyria, which is now Russia, and Egypt will come together in peace with Israel. And now continuing his lesson called Always God at Work, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Verse 19, in that day, that's that prophetic statement, there will be, number one, watch this, an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt. This is fascinating. And number two, watch this, a pillar, a second thing, to the Lord at its border. I'm going to ask you to mark border there. And it will be for a sign and for a witness to the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. What's he talking about? Imagine, watch, Isaiah speaking about a future event regarding Egypt. Isaiah wrote this at about 740 BC. 740 BC, around there. He talks about this structure, this something that is an altar, and it's for a sign. And this gets weird, and we're gonna have some fun tonight. It's just interesting. I want to touch on it just because it's worthy, and yet what it does for you tonight, I have no idea. So how's that? Can we just do that tonight? Can we just try that? Isaiah's speaking about something he's aware of, or he would have been aware of in his time. But what is it? Did you know that during Isaiah's ministry, the Great Pyramid of Egypt would have been in existence? The pyramid. This is fun. There are various pyramids. You guys, we have pictures of this. Let's throw some up there. I think we have something. You got to admit, I mean, it's beautiful but weird at the same time. I mean, what are they thinking? I could see if it snowed there, you could take a skis down that thing, but isn't that amazing? The mathematical properties of these pyramids are beyond the ability for a human to just concoct. Scientifically, astronomically, regarding the heavens, absolutely remarkable. But what do we know? What? Why would there be a border that is going to be, an item that is on the border of Egypt, and in the midst of it during the millennial period that is important? It's interesting to note, you guys, that during Isaiah's day, there would have been, and I only want to focus on one because this is why it's important. There would have been one great pyramid in Isaiah's day. It would have been the pyramid that is called Giza. You ever heard that? Or it's also known as the Pyramid Cheops. Did you know that it's the only pyramid in all of Egypt that is not a tomb? All the other ones, look, well, listen, all the other ones are tombs. This one's not. So what? It's interesting to note that this one is the first one. This was the first one built. Built in 2560 BC, by the way, there's information, there's data that proves that. It stands 455 feet tall. It's completely intact. It's still intact to this day. Think of that. 2,500 years old. Now we're looking at, so what is that? 4,000. In fact, this year, it'd be 4,575 years old. It is one of the seven ancient wonders of the world, and it is considered the ancient wonder of the world. Again, its properties, you guys, 320 feet long. There's hallways in it. And from start to finish, the hallway variation is less than a quarter of an inch. We would have a hard time building that today. Its angles, there are corridors, or I should say, for lack of a better term, windows that would be like almost a telescope on the inside of the pyramid that align with certain celestial bodies in space. And it just so happens that those alignments point to 12 constellations. If you know anything about Babylonianism, that's very significant. Because in the Bible, God speaks to Job, challenging Job, can you describe and can you tell me how I did the Maseroth? You ever heard of the Maseroth? The 12 constellations. You don't know it by its Hebrew name, Maseroth. You know it by its Babylonian name, the Zodiac. Let's go, isn't that amazing? When Nebuchadnezzar would capture cultures, he would take what they held as dear and he would rename and pervert them. And he would take people and rename and pervert them. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Do you know what their names were? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's what he did. He takes the Maseroth and he doesn't like what it displays, because the Maseroth, the Bible tells us that God preached the gospel to Abraham. Many scholars believe that the 12 constellations is none other than the message of the gospel in the sky. Could it be? Don't know. Could it be that the heavens declare the glory of God? It's not only the wonder of celestial creation, the stars at night and the sun and the moon, but could it mean also that the gospel had representation preached from the heavens that God was announcing? Virgo, the virgin. Leo, hello? Judah, the lion from the tribe of Judah. Everything that you would know on a horoscope has its Maseroth, meaning that equates to the gospel. It's absolutely fascinating. What's very amazing, as I said earlier, it's the only non-tomb pyramid, and yet it's the oldest one. Here's a trick question for you. Who built the pyramid Cheops? You would think the Egyptians, right? But the data confirms the Egyptians didn't build it. The Hyksos people, you can look it up, write it down, Hyksos. This is archaeological historical fact. They built it. Who were they? Now, people aren't sure who they were. But what they do know is that they came, listen, you'll read this, they came from what is today known as modern day Israel, that region of the world. What did the Hyksos people proclaim? In the Cheops pyramid is the language that declares that there is only one God and he's the creator of heaven and earth. This was written down in there 2,500 BC. The Egyptians had many, 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 many gods. And yet this is the oldest one, and it says that there's one God. Isn't that provocative? Isn't that cool? Isn't that kind of fun? See, what do I do with this? I have no idea. I'm just telling you tonight that Egypt is special to God. Egypt is special to him. How so? Well, we'll see right now. Look at verse 20. For they, the Egyptians, will cry to the Lord because of the oppressors. And he will send them, look, God will send them a savior and a mighty one. Look at your Bible. Is that not capitalized? Wow. That means in the Hebrew language, it speaks of deity. God will be their savior. God will be their mighty one. He's going to send them the savior. He's going to send them the mighty one. And he will deliver them. Verse 21, then the Lord will be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians will know the Lord in that day. I don't know. I want to say amen to that. Man, you know, listen. I know they live a long way from here, and I know we watch Egypt on TV and the news when something's happening, but frankly, we're Americans, we don't really care. It's tragic, but that's our culture. Well, whatever, who cares? Oh, we should care. God loves them. And listen, when Jesus, his own son, come to earth, was under the persecution of the Roman Empire, where did God, according to the prophets, where did God send his son for protection? Egypt. In fact, where did God send his people to learn a big lesson and to preserve them, as difficult as it was? Where did he send them? Egypt. One of God's most profound witnesses for his glory, who became the second most powerful man in the world, Joseph. What land did Joseph preside over? Egypt. It's amazing. God says that there's going to be, the Bible says, there is a monument there that is going to someday be used as an altar or some remembrance of the Lord. Could it be that Isaiah's talking about the pyramid of his day? Could he be speaking that, hey, everybody knows this. It's like, you know, you can save 15% on your car insurance in 15 minutes. Everybody knows that. And everybody knows that there's a pyramid on the border. And by the way, Giza means border. There's a monument that's going to be there in the last days. When Christ returns, there's going to be something in Egypt that is going to be sanctified as a monument to God. You think about stuff like that. You think, imagine right now if somebody dug up the ark. I'm not talking about Spielberg's ark. I'm talking about Noah's ark, the boat. What if that came out like now? You know, what if somebody got that thing? What if Randall Price got it out of there? He's been working on that for a long time. What if he got that out of that Mount Ararat and that frozen ice? What do you think the world would believe? The ark, we're believers. I don't think so. Monuments are interesting things. If you can have a monument and it becomes an idol, and it doesn't help you believe at all. It's just a stupid idol. But if you have a monument that speaks about some great thing that God has done, and you don't worship it, it reminds you of him. What if the ark was discovered in these last days that you and I are living in? I think it'd be an announcement to the world that judgment's coming. Imagine the people walking around in Noah's day. What's that dumb boat doing in your driveway? What is that? It's going to rain. It's going to what? Remember, the Bible says it hadn't rained. Water would come up from the earth. Dew would rise from the earth. That's how everything got watered. It's going to rain. God's judgment. Repent. The Bible says that Noah preached the gospel for 120 years. Did you know that? 120 years. Faithful. Preaching the gospel. Can you imagine? Repent, you guys. You hammer. Putting that thing together, calling the community to follow Jesus or follow the Lord. They didn't know about Jesus then. Follow God. Judgment's coming. And they didn't. What if the ark came out again right before the end? As in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man, Jesus said. What if? I said, Jack, you're getting freaky on us tonight. Isaiah 19, it's tough. I'm doing my best here. It's tough. But this is amazing. And right before it ends, it gets better. Watch this. He says there in verse 21, Egypt and the Egyptians will know the Lord in that day and will make sacrifice and offering. Yes, they will make a vow to the Lord and perform it. Verse 22, and the Lord will strike Egypt. That's discipline Egypt. He will discipline or strike it and he'll heal it. Isn't that sweet? By the way, he does that because he loves them. They will return to the Lord. Oh, look at that. They will return to the Lord. When I read that, I think of people I know. They will return to the Lord. Oh, we need, do you have somebody in your life that you want them to return to the Lord?
Yes.
Are you ready? Do you? Raise your hand if you do.
Yes.
Okay, listen, can you handle this? God loves them, right?
Yes.
Then listen, then you've got to let God strike them.
So what do you mean?
Well, I don't know what I mean. It's up to God to strike them. He strikes and he heals. Okay. I went to the doctor today. He did something unseemly to tell me I'm okay. He strikes and he heals. Just like. God strikes and he heals. Listen, doesn't the Bible say that he disciplines everyone who's a child? And a person that's not his, he will not discipline them. Are you here tonight? Are you watching right now? And you're getting away with murder? And you think, oh, hey, it's okay with God. Hey, you know what? Listen, it's not okay with God, but you may not be his. Oh, man, are you kidding me? I've been sleeping with Bubbles for years. It's amazing. It's great. Nothing's happened to me. Well, let me tell you something. If you're a Christian, something's going to happen to you. He'll strike you because he loves you, and then he'll heal you. But if you're just having a grand old time, ain't nothing happening, you just may very well not be his at all. It's great that in the Christian life, God keeps a very short leash on us. I need a short leash. Okay. Don't think God's striking Egypt to destroy it. He's striking Egypt because he has a beautiful plan for it. And that's true about our lives. And they will return to the Lord and he will be entreated by them and heal them. Verse 23 to 25. And we have a slide. I think we have an image to show you up there. In that day, verse 23 says, there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria. Look at the kingdom. Look at the realm. Look at Egypt toward the bottom left-hand part of your screen. And the Assyrian Empire, go way to the northeast toward the Caspian Sea, southern Russia. The Bible says there's going to be a highway there. This is the millennium when Christ returns in the second coming. There'll be a highway there. Listen, keep looking at the map and I'll read it to you. In that day, there'll be a highway from Egypt to Assyria. Don't think of Syria. Assyria is way bigger than Syria. And the Assyrian will come into Egypt and the Egyptian into Assyria. And the Egyptians will serve with the Assyrians. In that day, Israel will be one of the three with Egypt and Assyria. What does that mean? United Nations, are you listening? You know what that means? That because of belief in the gospel that Jesus Christ is Lord, died on the cross for the sins of the world and rose again from the dead, and that you can't be saved but without him and him alone, those of the ancient Assyrian Empire in the last days will believe that again, as well Egypt, and as well Israel will, because they don't now. And the three of them, God says, look, in that day, a blessing in the midst of the land there'll be, whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, blessed is Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, my inheritance. This is the millennium. When Jesus comes back, that's when there'll be peace, not when the UN does its thing. That's ridiculous. You want world peace? Become a Christian. I'm serious. Dead serious. I'm dead serious. Amazing. So listen, before we wrap this up, we have a few minutes left. I want to talk to you in light of God dealing with the nations of the world. God's going to deal with Egypt. God's not done with them. Listen, the future of Egypt is very promising. Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know. But have you noticed, have you met, you ought to just start meeting people on Sundays or Wednesdays. I really please would encourage you to do that. This, when you see people that might, that to us who were born and raised here of the Caucasian European race, when you see someone and you're not sure if they were born and raised here, you ought to ask them here at church, hey, hi, where are you from? Where are you from? I did that today to somebody. Where are you from? And he said, I'm from Tehran. I'm Iranian. I said, you're Persian. I am Persian. Yes, I'm Persian. When'd you come here? What's the story? What's the deal? First of all, it's very fun. It's beautiful to talk like that with someone. And then, but here in church, you'll be surprised how many Egyptian Coptic Christians attend this church. Stop them and ask them, hey, where are you from? Oh, don't be surprised. I forget their names right now, and even I've remembered I couldn't pronounce them. They'll tell you, oh, we're from Cairo. We came here. We fled persecution. We came here. We were Christians in Cairo. What's it like? And they'll let them talk to you. It's so fun. When you see people, they have different color skin than you do. Go after them. Get them. Get up there and hug them. Stick out your hand. Say, what's up? What's going on? Last Sunday, third service. Were you a third service person? Were you? Right back here. I went right through the doors to the foyer, and there was a lady in a wheelchair with all of her colorful clothes on. She was from Nigeria. And I said, hi. And she goes, hello, Pastor. I want to pray for you. And she starts praying for me. And it was like, it was prophetic, awesome. And the joy of Jesus just came out of her. And she said, I want to invite you to my country. I want you to preach the gospel. Start meeting people. You're going to be with them in heaven. You might as well get used to it now. You get up there and say, I know you. I don't want you to look dumb up there. You ought to ask them now what their name is. But listen. You need to make sure in your life that the God who has written this Bible is the God that is your Lord and Savior. Amen. Tonight, as we close in this song of worship, you can make this your prayer. Listen, make this song your prayer. Trust Jesus Christ with all of your heart. Take your sin to him and he will forgive you. And he'll give you a brand new life. It's what he does. He's going to give Egypt a brand new life. Well, yeah, he's going to give Israel a brand new life too. He gives new life. He'll do that to you if you'll ask him.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in a message called Always God at Work, Part 2. Thanks for joining us today. And even when it looks like the world is in chaos, God is truly in control and always at work on our behalf. Always God at Work Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, when our program has a special series going on that takes you through a specific book of the Bible like Isaiah, it can be a challenge to keep up. Each chapter and verse builds upon the other. That's why Pastor Jack has available at the website previous episodes that you can tune into. Simply go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and then click on the tab that says Listen. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And when you download the Real Life app onto your mobile device, look for past episodes on that media tab. That's the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.